We are going to be in 1 Peter tonight. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So in this epistle of Peter, we have been looking at this letter written to those who were persecuted and scattered throughout these lands, and that though they were scattered, they were not forgotten by God. Indeed, they were given an inheritance by God, it says in verses 3 and 4. They are kept by the power of God in verse 5. Their trial of faith was very precious in verse 7. And this salvation, which was given to us in Christ for this time, was for the time of Peter. And so it was for them as well. Last week, we looked at verses 13 through 16, girding up the loins of our minds, to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And we looked at that last time together, the call to holiness. And this week we begin in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have given to us this night. We ask that you would give us understanding in it, in the preaching of it, that you would help me in the hearing of it, the congregation. We ask, O Father, for thy mercies and thy grace upon your word, to cause your word to live in our hearts, to understand the essential message of the text that is set before us. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. So we'll be looking and beginning at verse 17. Peter says, and if you call on the Father. In some translations, the Geneva, it says, and if you call the Father, if you address him as Father, your Father, which art in heaven, then you should also be able to say, hallowed be your name. His name is holy, and you are to approach him with all reverence. If you call on the Father, to call upon the Father, Ellicott says, has a forensic sense of an appeal. And every time we lodge our appeal to the Father on the ground of his fatherhood, he is the one who is going to decide the case. Ellicott says he will do it without respect to our person. He will make no allowance to our wrongdoing on the ground of being his regenerate children, nor on the ground of being the Hebrew race, whose current state in Peter's day was antichrist, was opposed to Christ for the most part, even as he speaks of in the latter verses when he talks about their vain conversation received by tradition from their fathers. If you call him Father, you are to do it with great reverence. If we approach God, we are to approach God with the greatest of reverence. Because he accepts no man's person, He accepts no excuse for our sin or for hypocrisy or lying or cheating. He accepts not unlawful means to accomplish any end. We fight as using lawful means. We fight in righteousness. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. He is your Father, that is true, and He is also the judge of all men. And therefore, you are to let your behavior, your deportment, to be holy as God is holy. You are to act reverently. Pass the time of your sojourning here, he says, in fear. You are sojourners. You are pilgrims heading to the celestial city. But the time you spend here on earth in this pilgrimage is not to be ill spent. Your behavior matters, and it must be spent in the fear of God. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Archbishop Lytton writes, "A fear which drowns all lower fears and begets true fortitude, the righteous dare do anything except offend God." We may fear a socialist government, which will be difficult to bear, but we fear God more. So we do not advocate the overthrow of government by mob rule. We fear the God who is judging our land. If you name God as your Father, you must know that He is not a respecter of persons. You must fear Him. He will not favor your person just because you think that He should. You are to fear Him, not fight Him, lest you be found to fight God. Jeremiah in his day was put in a very difficult spot because he had to proclaim the word of God, which said that they would be taken off to Babylon, carried off, and that they were not to resist. And therefore, he was thrown into the pit for that message. McLaren writes, "I suppose in Peter's day, people fell in love with one aspect of the divine nature, that they had no eyes for any other, who so magnified the thought of the Father that they forgot the thought of the judge." It's Peter himself, if you remember, who learned that God was not a respecter of persons. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. In verse 14, Peter's vision. "But Peter said, 'No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean.' And the voice spake unto him again the second time, 'What God has cleansed, do not call that common.' And this was done thrice. The vessel was received up into heaven again." And then verse 25, with his visitors. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up and said, 'Stand up, I myself am also a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had come together. And he said to them, 'You know how it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation.'" "But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean, and therefore I came to you." In verse 34, "And then Peter opened his mouth and he said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him.'" So Peter had learned that God was going to bring the Gentiles into the church, that God was not a respecter of persons, that his Hebrew ancestry was not enough to bring him into the presence of God safely, and that God had a love that extended to all the nations. And so Peter had to learn that God was not a respecter of persons. that Peter was not loved of God because of Peter's own person, because of his ancestry. It was because he was in Christ. And Peter struggled with this. In Galatians chapter 2, the whole nation struggled with this. And even Peter, the apostle, struggled with it. In chapter 2 and verse 11, we read, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those of the circumcision." In verse 14, Paul says, "When I saw they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?" If we call God Father, if we call God Father, if we call on the name of the Father, we best be careful how we behave ourselves. Why? Because we are to behave ourselves in holiness and reverence to the Father. Because God is no respecter of persons. God has humbled our nation. God has humbled the world. We were excited about economic prosperity in our land. We were not equally excited about spiritual prosperity in our land. And what our president has done in these past 4 years has been many good things that he has done. And I have a great appreciation for what he has done in the promotion of true liberty, in the promotion of the anti-abortion crusade against abortion. But in Daniel chapter 4, there have been times when our president has spoken and it has caused me to cringe and to be reminded of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4 in verse 30, which says, "The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling will be with the beasts of the field." If you call God Father, if you take the name of God into your mouth, you must pass your time here in reverence. All glory must be given to him. God will not share his glory with anyone else. Secondly, Peter says, not only when you call upon the Father do you pass your time in here in reverence, because God is not a respecter of persons, but he will judge all men according to their works. But in verse 18, he goes on to say, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your empty behavior that you inherited from your fathers." You pass your time here in reverence because silver and gold will not redeem you. A stimulus check will not save you. 100 stimulus checks will not save you. Capitalism will not save you. Socialism will not save you. If your hope for salvation is in any of that, then you are in error. It is only the precious blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. If you call him Father, you are to pass your time here in reverence, because if you can call him Father, then he has saved you, and not with cheap silver and gold and trinkets or federal notes, but with the precious blood of his only begotten Son, the blood of the Messiah, sent by the Father to rebels, Christ voluntarily coming to shed that precious blood. The term Father, when you take it in your lips, it is not to be taken lightly. When you call upon the Father, can you say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Can you, before his majesty, bow to do as he pleases? Can you say with Watts, "Whatever my God ordains is right, holy his will abideth"? We reverence God because he does not respect our person. He will judge justly, and he respects his dear Son, who magnified the law of God and God's will by laying down his life to redeem his people. When you call him Father, you can only do so because you come in the name of Christ and by the shed blood of Christ, the rare, precious blood of Jesus Christ. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed, you are not purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold from that empty conversation. That's not where your allegiance belongs. It's not to those earthly things, but your allegiance belongs to Christ because of his shed blood. Knowing the great cost of his Son being offered up as a sacrifice for sin, would we make light of the blood of God's Son by calling upon the Father in any inappropriate manner, by coming before him glibly or lightly or foolishly or selfishly to ask for that which we would consume upon our own lusts? No, we come reverently, carefully, perseveringly, asking that God's will be done, and asking for grace to do God's will and to receive God's will and rejoice in God's will, and to have faith to see that God's kingdom is being furthered upon the earth in God's own way, in a spiritual way, in the conquering of souls for Christ, trusting God to further his kingdom in his own way, in his own time, in whatever manner he chooses. That God would give us grace to use the means, lawful means, to glorify him, to preach the everlasting gospel, the atonement, the precious blood of Christ. We were redeemed, the text says. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Christ. To be redeemed is to be ransomed, is to be purchased, which means we don't belong to ourselves anymore. So that when we call upon the Father, we call upon one who has sent his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose slaves we are now, and to the Father, we belong to the Father. We are the children of God who call him Father. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him, the Father who is always holy, who can never do wrong. He is too wise to err, too good to do evil. We were redeemed by one who was without spot and without blemish, God's beloved. And yet he was offered up a sacrifice for your sin, though he was without blemish and without spot, having vicariously taken the guilt of your sin upon himself. And therefore, when you call upon the Father, you are to do it with the greatest reverence. His redemptive purposes, the Father's Son and the Holy Spirit's redemptive purposes, they were foreordained, and they are being manifested now, Peter says, in the world. And as the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ, we must remember who we are. Yes, we have a Father. Yes, we may call him Father, and we are to call upon him as our Father, but not because of our own person, for he is no respecter of persons, but because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are to call upon him reverently, and we are to live out our lives in a reverent manner before God and according to the will of God and for the purposes of God and for the glory of God, not for our own glory. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul there speaks of the purpose of the church, and he says to the church of the Galatians, I marvel, chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, to another good news. We have no other good news. We have only one good news, which is not another, he says, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are many gospels out there today, many things that people are living for and pushing for and kingdoms that they want to establish, but there is but one kingdom of God and one blood of Jesus Christ and one Father whom we reverently call upon. Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So as believers, we are not here to please men. We are not here to please men with their other gospels, with their other good newses. We are here to proclaim the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the only atonement for our sin, that it is a precious, a rare blood which Christ alone could shed, which Christ alone can save men by, that this is their only hope that they have. So that Peter says, after he has said, be holy, for I am holy, he says, and if you call him Father, who without respect to persons judges everyone, every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Not the fear of men, not those lesser fears that come upon us from time to time that steal over our hearts and we become afraid of circumstances and other things. But it is the fear of God, the reverence of God, that sense that we have been joined to God through Christ. We are one in Christ, joint heirs with Christ, so that we can call him Father. And therefore, we are to do it with a reverence. And that reverence is shown when we submit ourselves to the will of God, into the ways of God, into the purposes of God, into the principles of God, and refuse to veer from those things, no matter what our circumstances are. I want to close with an old hymn. The hymn writer says, our God ascends his lofty throne, arrayed in majesty unknown. His luster all the temple fills and spreads over all the ethereal hills. The holy, holy, holy Lord, by all the seraphim adored, and while they stand beneath his seat, they veil their faces and their feet. Lord, how can sinful lips proclaim the honors of so great a name? O, for thine altar's glowing coal to touch his lips, to fire his soul. Then if a messenger thou ask, a laborer for the hardest task, through all his weakness and his fear, love shall reply, thy servants hear. Nor let his willing soul complain, though every effort seem in vain. Its ample recompense shall be, but to have wrought, O God, for thee. To have wrought for God, to have served the Lord. If we call on the Father, we must do so with the greatest reverence, because God does not accept our person, but only the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose rare, precious blood is what has purchased us from the slave market of sin. And so we serve him in his way. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would strengthen us in these days, O Lord. We pray for our country in the midst of her own turmoil and confusion. We ask that she might be turned to the blood of Jesus Christ that alone saves us. We ask, O God, that you would never allow us as a congregation to forget the message and the purpose of the congregation to spread forth the good news of the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ in that everlasting love that has been set upon his people. Pray that you would bless your people now, strengthen them. Help us, O Lord, to follow thee. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.